Hello and welcome to Dissenting Voices with your host, DJ Little Sin. This is my first episode, or podcast as you may call it. I'd like to think of it as a news program, bringing you news that you probably wouldn't see or hear anywhere else. You probably heard some of the stories other places, but I'm pretty sure a lot of them are going to be news to you, as people might say. Okay. I'd like to get into more of detailed introductions, but I'm trying to keep this a 30-minute show, and I have a lot of info that I would like to give to all of you, because knowledge is the one thing no one can take from you. It's the one thing you got to keep hold. And before we go on any further, this whole news program, all the articles that I will be talking about will be available for download by the time you hear this show, on my website, restoretherepublic.net/DJ Lil Sin. That is restoretherepublic.net/DJLilsyn. It'll be in PDF format and probably through a rapid share link. If you have any problems, you can email me or message me on that website. My email address is djlilsyn@gmail.com. That is djlilsyn@gmail.com. This is all real news, not paranoid. I have the sources right here, usually from the AP Newswire or foreign sources. Like, we'll go into the first one, which is from a German newspaper, or I got it from the website called the Deutsche Welle, and it says Central American countries want a common currency. The nations of Central America want to adopt a common currency and a shared credit fund to combat the global financial crisis. Meeting in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, the region's 7 countries plus the Dominican Republic also agreed to introduce a common passport for their citizens. No timetable for instituting the proposal was given. At present, El Salvador and Panama use the U.S. dollar, while Belize, Costa Rica, and the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Honduras have their own currencies. And that was, I believe that was yesterday in the Deutsche Welle. See here, that's just planning for a, basically a EU setup over there. They're all their own, have no more sovereignty. It's going to be the Central American Union. Interesting. Well, that's them giving up their rights and their sovereignty is what's basically they want for us. And then a global government mapped out by the United Nations, all right in front of us. Well, that one wasn't, unless you happen to come across German news. But in other news, let's go on to a new subject. here's something that's been on everyone's mind. The bailout. So, December 10th, 2008, on the AP Newswire, the House approves the $14 billion rescue package for the nation's imperiled auto industry. So, when they're in a crisis, they get fat-ass check to get them out their crisis. Well, the common citizen who pays into this $14 billion rescue package, or will end up paying for it in the future, has to work and declare bankruptcy and still have to pay for it in the end. Another news, the federal deficit is on the pace to reach $1 trillion. That was also December 10th on the AP Newswire. Because the federal deficit already was starting at $455 billion. Because we'll start off with the $14 billion. That's $14 billion plus $455. It's $469 billion. Then there's the $700 billion hasn't all been spent yet. Let's see how they spent that $700 billion so far. We got $250 billion to purchase direct bank stock, which means the Treasury Department is going to purchase up the banks. Sounds like Mussolini, a little fascism. And the government provided $115 billion to 8 of the largest financial institutions in October, including the Bank of America Corporation, Citigroup Incorporated, and J.P. Morgan Chase & Company. Treasury said Tuesday that overall it has provided more than $155 billion to 77 banks. That's amazing. So, they get all this money, but you gotta see them. People who's handing this out, Goldman Sachs, that's, he's a banker himself. And our president, he was financed by these people. Basically handpicked by these people. See what happens when you purchase a president? Or you purchase a, or you just take over a whole government? You get everything. It's amazing. In Los Angeles, an annual Guns for Gifts amnesty scheme in the crime-ridden Los Angeles District of Compton saw a record spike and yet another sign of the ailing U.S. economy, officials' figure showed Monday. That's great. We have a Second Amendment right to have a gun, so we're just going to trick people by saying we'll give you food for you giving in your only line of defense. Last year, a total of 387 guns were gathered as a part of the drive, which sees $100 gift vouchers given for people turning in firearms and 200 tokens for assault weapons. So yeah, that's pretty funny. One guy said he just got laid off from his job. He turned in 5 guns and said it would really help him put food on the family's table. Among the weapons handed in this year was a Soviet-era semi-automatic carbine and 2 hand grenades, local media reported. Now, yes, you can see this as, yeah, they're getting guns off the neighborhoods. Less people are going to get shot, more people are going to get fed. But you got to see the bigger picture in all this. We have a Second Amendment right to have guns, and there's a reason that our Second Amendment right allows us to have guns, and that is because once they take the guns from you, they can just come in and push you around, treat your family like they're a bunch of serfs, servants, or shit on the bottom of their shoes, basically. Okay. In other news, let's get into more, science fiction. In a Arcade Mania magazine, got this. Sega interested in microchip implants for games. venerated Sega developer Yu Suzuki, who developed such games as Hang-On and Virtua Cop, I know, we've all played those games, changed the way people played. His titles have been revolutionary regarding how players interact with arcade games and arcade game cabinets. But Suzuki thinks there's more that can be done, like arcade game players getting chipped. Great, 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 great. So they'll tell our kids, you get this microchip in your arm, because he points to his arm as he's saying where you could put the sensor. You put this microchip in your arm and you get to play the video games in a way you've never played before. And then they're just tracking you and getting your kids ready to pay their bills with microchips, and then gets rid of cash. Gets rid of everything was meant to stand for, because once your money's in the chip, they can turn the chip off. Man, it's common knowledge. And then, other news we got, the internet service providers of Australia, they're resisting, a plan for a trial of internet filtering technology that the, Australian government is trying to impose on them. Because they don't want you on the internet listening to shows like mine or the Shadow Resistance podcast or Alex Jones or Jeff Rentz or anything like that. They want you to listen to Hannity, fucking whoever they pay, Ann Coulter. That's an angry bitch, too. Let's see. What else do we have in news today for you people? Pretty big news day. A lot of stuff going on. And in the spirit of the big three, which we all know is Mopar, Chevy, and Ford, who just got that $14 billion... We have in the Wall Street Journal on the 8th, which is, should have read that one before the other one, but that's just telling you what they're going to do with that $14 billion. They're buying an ownership stake in the industry, in the actual auto industry. I could start bringing up other governments that actually owned ownership stake in the companies that were producing cars. We can say, like, Volkswagen. That was created by the Nazi government, the SS and all them. And it was the Nazis who put the slave laborers at to work in the Volkswagen and the Mercedes factories. It was Mussolini. He owned it a different way. He actually owned it the exact same way that is being played out right here. And it's kind of spooky, to be honest with you. We got a president who has the exact same hand stances and the same hand posture as Mussolini. We have a government who's reenacting that fascism to extreme. It's like all at once, bam, 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 bam. They're taking this $700 billion, which we all know in the way money works. Well, maybe not all of us, but in future episodes I can get into that. Like I said, I'm trying to keep this at a minimum. Excuse me. That the $700 billion is actually more money. It's going to turn into $1 trillion. And they're going to use that to buy up the banks, like they're doing. They said that right there. What's the exact number? Have it highlighted right here. the exact number. $250 billion to make direct purchases of bank stock, providing the nation's financial institutions with the infusion of cash in hopes they will resume a more normal lending practice. Well, that's what the news report says. We got to remember, the news report is written by the AP Newswire, and the AP Newswire is owned by Reuters, who is owned by the Rothschilds, and then the Rothschilds own Reuters, the AP, and the AFP, and so they're gonna put their spin on it to make it sound great. But you gotta think that they're gonna have ownership stock in all these banks now. So that's fascism. That's when the government owns the businesses and owns everything. You're always working for the government in a sense. They always print our monies. And now they have ownership stock in our cars. They're giving the larger financial companies just straight cash compensations right off the bat. Bam. You get paid. What else do we have in the news? In Financial Times, we have, and now for world government. I think I'll read this article word for word. It's in the 9th of December, Financial Times. Quote unquote, "I have never believed that there is a secret United Nations plot to take over the U.S. I have never seen black helicopters hovering in the sky above Montana." That's because they were in Texas. We all seen that. "But for the first time in my life, I think the formation of some sort of world government is plausible. A world government would involve a much more in world governments in quotation marks, would involve much more than a cooperation between nations. It would be an entity with state-like characteristics backed by a body of laws. The European Union has already set up a continental government for 27 countries. And let me pause right there. Earlier I said the Central America countries want a common currency. That's them basically setting up their own continental, continental government, but for less countries. Let's get back to it. Alright, the EU has a Supreme Court, a currency, thousands of pages of laws. Pause again, they also have their own Patriot Act, a large civil service, and the ability to deploy military force." Yes, the European military. "So could the European model go global? There are three reasons for thinking that it might." Remember, this is in Financial Times. It's basically a magazine, I believe. I don't get my news from the actual sources on the internet, but it's from the website. Back to it. "First, it is the increasingly clear that is most difficult issues facing national governments are international in nature. There is global warming, global financial crisis, and a global war on terror. And that'll probably be the next three episodes that I do will be on that subject. Those three subjects. Second, it could be done. The transport and communications revolutions have shrunk the world so that, as Jeffrey Blainley, an eminent Australian historian, has written, for the first time in human history, world government of some sort is now plausible. Mr. Blainley foresees an attempt to form a world government at some point in the next two centuries, which is an unusually long time horizon for the average newspaper column. But the third point, a change in political atmosphere suggests that global governance could come much sooner than that." I was just about to say that, but I decided to keep reading. "The financial crisis and climate change are pushing national governments toward global solutions, even in countries such as China and the U.S. that are traditionally fierce guardians of national sovereignty. Barack Obama's president-in-waiting, does not share the Bush administration's disdain for international agreements and treaties. In his book, The Audacity of Hope, he argued that when a world sole superpower willingly restrains its power and abides by internationally agreed upon standards of conduct, it sends a message that there are rules worth following. The importance of Mr. Obama to the UN is shown by the fact that he has appointed Susan Rice, one of his closest sides, as America's ambassador to the UN and given her a seat in the cabinet. I'm not even going to read the rest of it. It's long. And it spun so much it looks like a fucking top. So there we have it. It's in the media. Right in front of our face. They want a global government. They want to take all sovereignty away. I'm not going to say that it isn't a bad idea. It's just the people who are planning on doing it aren't doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it for control. They're doing it for increased wealth, which is absurd to me. How could you get more richer than some of these people? It's been said that the Rothschilds, who are behind the EU, have almost half the world's wealth. Basically, they own the world anyways, so they're just gonna do it right, just like take away all sovereignty right in front of our face, and bankers put Barack Obama up there as the perfect puppet, knowing that we would all fall for it. We didn't want a Republican anymore. We didn't want McCain. We didn't want Palin, but I'm not even going to go there, because we should have known that something was up when we seen that they went over to the National Cemetery, dug McCain's dead body out of his grave, and brought him back to life, and ran him with the equivalent of, the female equivalent of fucking George W. Bush. We put ourselves in this place. We had opportunities to make a difference in our Bill of Rights. Not our Bill of Rights. In the actual Constitution itself, the Declaration of Independence. It says we have the right to basically overthrow our government if we feel that it's doing something wrong. It says that right there. I'm not saying that we got to do that, but I'm just saying that I can't condone that if I want to keep my life, to be honest with you people. But the people who wrote that knew that this would come, because it happened before. That's why Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. He was assassinated so they can get rid of the greenback, because the greenback was backed by gold. So they wanted the bankers wanted to be able to print their own money so they could do stuff like this to have these bailouts and to throw everything in an economic depression so they can turn around and buy all the corporations up. So that's the essence of what this show is going to be about. News articles and me putting all the pieces together for you guys. Like I said, I'll be posting not only the news articles, I'll also be posting the actual podcast on my website. That is restoreripublic.net/djlilsyn. That's restoretherepublic.net/djlilsyn. You can email me for more information at djlilsyn@gmail.com. We got 5 minutes left in the show. I'm going to talk about different ways we can work together and try to band together and fix these problems that's about to come. There's a couple of things people should probably learn. You should probably learn how to grow your own food. Even if you live in an apartment, I'm pretty sure all of you got a closet that you could clear out and set up an indoor grow. Not to grow marijuana, I'm talking to grow tomatoes, lettuce, beans, couple other vegetables in there, and you have yourself a stew. Now you think I'm joking, you think it's crazy and stuff, but I just gave you the blueprint of what's going to happen, and if we can go into our history books, and let's see how the country was during Mussolini's reign. Let's go look at Italy. Look at Germany, when Hitler was in charge. Loaf of bread was an obscene amount of money. People weren't able to afford food. There was a lot of starvation. Look at Iceland. This is right now. Iceland is most of the country is out of food. If not all the country. Actually, yeah, all the country is out of food. I bet those people wish they had a closet with enough food in it to grow some stews for their family. Pretty sure they all would love to have that. In the future, I'll have the actual blueprints up for closet grows. I'll have some links on my website, restoretherepublic.net/DJLittleson. It's not really a website. It's got links to downloads off of RapidShare for you. I will be setting up a website in the future, within the next 2 months. Before we wrap it up, give you a gist of what our next week's show is going to be. Today's Thursday. Little day that I'm posting, it's going to be Thursday. I'll have another show on Sunday. We're going to be doing global warming. I'll have probably about 10 minutes worth of news, not as many news articles. But then I'll have about 20 minutes just basically all about global warming. Once we get that myth out, we can start to see the problems with the news article I just read to you about the global government. And I'll read that line again. First, it is increasingly clear that the most difficult issues facing the national governments are international in nature. There is global warming, global financial crisis, global war on terror. All three of those can be proved wrong, and that's why the next three episodes I'm going to do is going to be proving every single one of those wrong. The first one's going to be global warming, which is going to be a touchy subject. I want people to email me and get mad at me and send me news articles that disagree with me. I want you to prove me wrong on that one. Mainly because I want this whole global government not to be what I think it is, and I'm pretty sure it's what I think it is. I got a lot more information than most people. I say most people because I'm not saying all people, because I bet most of the people out there who are listening to this already know what's going on, so it's kind of preaching to the choir, but hopefully some of you disagree with me. Hopefully most of you disagree with me. And then they'll tune in on Sunday to get a earful of global warming. And on Wednesday we'll be doing global financial crisis. That one is a real problem. I don't think I could prove that one wrong. But we will be talking about that. I'll pull some news clips up from actual financial people and throw them in there. And then we'll do the global war on terror on next Sunday, which we all know is a farce. I hope you enjoyed my first episode. I'm sorry if there's any problems. Please email me with any issues you might have with it. Remember, it's a learning process. I work with you, you work with me, and we'll get this show good. Thank you. And have a wonderful evening. Remember to check out restorerepublic.net/DJ Little Sin. That is restorerepublic.net/DJ Little Sin. And email me at djlittlesin@gmail.com. Sunday I will have a message service and an email service dedicated straight to this podcast. Please keep on learning and visit the links and visit the page.